Ethereum now holds 87% of all stablecoin supply. Ethereum now accounts for 87% of the total stablecoin supply, according to a Cointelegraph post on X published July 5, 2026. The figure marks a level of single-chain dominance the stablecoin market has not seen since its early years, when nearly all activity lived on Ethereum by default. ETH traded at $1,760,999 as of July 5, 2026, up 0.75% over 24 hours and 11.86% over the past week, while the broader market sat in fear territory with a fear and greed reading of 27. The stablecoin data lands during a week when Ethereum has outperformed Bitcoin's 4.33% 7-day gain by a wide margin. One chain, almost the whole dollar market stablecoins, are the settlement layer of crypto. They fund exchange order books, DeFi lending pools, cross-border transfers, and the balances behind most stablecoin-funded cards. An 87% share means that when a digital dollar moves anywhere in crypto, the odds are overwhelming that it moves on Ethereum or settles back to it. The market did not always look like this. For years, stablecoin supply was split across several networks, with Tron carrying a heavy share of USDT flows in Asia and emerging markets, and Solana, BNB Chain, and various layer 2s competing for the rest. The 87% figure suggests that competition has thinned out, and issuers, market makers, and institutions have consolidated where the deepest liquidity already sits. That consolidation feeds itself. Deeper liquidity attracts more issuance deepens liquidity, and rival chains are left fighting over a shrinking slice. The case for concentration. There are real benefits to a single dominant settlement layer. Liquidity fragmentation has been one of crypto's persistent taxes. The same dollar bridged across five chains is five thinner markets, five bridge risks, and five sets of wrapped asset confusion. Concentration on Ethereum reduces that. It also matters that the concentration is happening on the chain with the longest security track record and the largest validator set. Institutions entering through tokenized funds and regulated stablecoins have consistently favored Ethereum, and initiatives like the OpenUSD Consortium have reinforced the pattern by launching on established rails rather than spinning up new ones. The case against it concentration risk is not theoretical. If 87% of stablecoin supply sits on one network, then that network's failure modes become the market's failure modes. A consensus bug, a prolonged congestion event, or a contentious governance episode would no longer be an Ethereum problem. It would be a digital dollar problem. Fee dynamics matter too. Ethereum mainnet gas costs have historically spiked during volatility, exactly when stablecoin users most need to move funds. Layer 2s absorb much of that pressure now, but L2 balances still depend on mainnet for final settlement. There's also a quieter structural question. Purpose-built stablecoin chains were supposed to be the future. Plasma launched an entire network around stablecoin payments, and Plasma One built a card and neobank on top of it. Gnosis Chain settles the transactions behind the Gnosis Pay card. An 87% Ethereum share implies those alternatives are winning users in niches, while the aggregate supply consolidates elsewhere. The spending rail underneath, for cardholders, the chain split is mostly invisible, until it isn't. Stablecoin balances that fund crypto card spending have to be topped up on-chain, and on-chain top-ups carry gas fees that vary enormously by network. A USDC transfer on an L2 costs cents. The same transfer on Ethereum mainnet during congestion can cost dollars. The disclosed card fee is never the full cost, and the top-up leg is one of the layers where the difference hides. The 87% figure means the majority of that top-up traffic, directly or via L2 settlement, now depends on one chain's fee market. Users on networks like Solana still have card options, but the gravitational pull of liquidity is clearly in one direction.